Hi, Brian. Welcome on Event Planner TV.
Nice to be here.
You will be here in Belgium March 25th for the Event Safety Day, where you will be talking about some considerations on the use of pyrotechnics in the events industry. But before we dive into that topic, maybe it's good that you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about what is your background, what is it you're doing?
My name is Brian Panther, and I work for a company called Pyrotech Special Effects. We are a full-service pyrotechnics and special effects production firm based in Canada. And we also have offices in Las Vegas, New York City, Nashville, Pennsylvania, and in Scandinavia now. So we produce pyrotechnics and special effects all over the world with a number of large touring clients. And for special events, television productions, and a number of other special events like sporting events and things like that. I've been a licensed pyrotechnic operator for 35 years, and I also work extensively with code development process. I currently chair the National Fire Protection Association's Technical Committee on Special Effects and Laser Fire Safety. And I'm currently a member of the board of directors of the American Pyrotechnics Association and chair their committee on proximate pyrotechnics. So I've definitely been in the industry for a long time, and safety is my primary focus with everything that we do. So,
but maybe the most obvious question to ask, is it safe? Because there are still venues that don't like to have pyrotechnics in their venue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question. And honestly, we get this question a lot when we go to venues that are not used to dealing with pyrotechnics. A very common reaction is actually, you want to do what in this building? The important thing to know is that if you follow the appropriate standards and guidelines, it can actually be done quite safely. Unfortunately, there are a lot of incidences that you can see just by looking on YouTube of, you know, inappropriate use of pyrotechnics or other special effects that results in, you know, property damage or injury. So what we aim to do is to take a comprehensive risk assessment and mitigation approach to the use of special effects in live entertainment applications.
Yeah, but you're totally right. Eh? If you look on YouTube, there are more than one artist catching fire and things like that. That's because people don't follow the rules. Can you give some examples of what is a good use of pyrotechnics and when it starts going wrong?
Well, the most important thing is that you engage the services of a competent and licensed pyrotechnic operator or pyrotechnic special effects provider. There are a number of guidelines in place, whether you're in North America or in the European Union, that provide for the requirements for permitting and the safe use of pyrotechnics. These include, use of appropriate materials, doing a comprehensive hazard analysis, filing for the appropriate permits, and making sure that we have adequate separation distances, you know, paths of egress, and all of the other life safety concerns that you would with having any other organized event.
You mentioned before that you were doing this all around the world, also in Europe, but also the United States and so on. Do you see many differences in approach, or is it more or less the same?
It's becoming more and more harmonized every year. As a company that tours all over the world, we do still see a very diverse set of regulations. But I will say that it has become a bit more standardized in the last 10 to 12 years. We're seeing more and more of the world adopting the standards of the National Fire Protection Association and the European Union. And we're finding that most of the countries and jurisdictions are utilizing a very similar set of rules and regulations to achieve a safe event. It's not really rocket science, it's just common sense. And I think that it's nice that a lot of these safety organizations are starting to communicate with each other and trying to standardize the approach, regardless of where you're at in the world.
If you're looking at doing pyrotechnics indoors or outdoors, I can imagine there are a lot of differences, to the least the weather conditions that can change and things like that. What are considerations event organizers and especially pyrotechnics technicians need to take into account considering that?
Well, the weather can certainly play a factor in any event. You know, anybody who does outdoor events knows that you're always subject to the whims of Mother Nature. And that can be especially the case when it comes to pyrotechnic effects. And if you're doing an outdoor event, you know, there's a number of different types of pyrotechnics that you might be seeing used. You may see anything from smaller stage product that's being used very close proximity to the audience, or you may see larger aerial fireworks like your T3, T4 type products being used as part of a large display at a greater separation distance. And obviously each of those classes of pyrotechnics have their own unique hazards and require a completely different set of mitigations in order to make them safe. So you really do have to look at each event as an individual analysis to determine what's appropriate for the venue and for the particular application that's being done.
But does that also mean that when planning such a concert, for example, that you look at what are the possible weather conditions we might be at? And if that's the case, we can't do that type of pyrotechnics, but maybe we have something as a backup that we then can do.
Yeah, that's a very good point. In fact, we travel on a lot of our tours, we travel with, in some cases, three shows or more, depending on the types of venues that we're going to be going to. We may have our A show, which has our highest level materials that maybe go, 150, 200 meters into the air. We have other shows where maybe the venue is restricted or there's a roof on the stadium and we need to be able to limit ourselves to, 25 to 30 meters or even smaller. And in some situations, if the wind speeds are becoming excessive, then we may have to eliminate entire sections of a show for a particular performance. So you always have to be ready to adapt and change to the circumstances on the ground. And it's always an adventure, especially when you're doing outdoor events.
But whose decision is it to skip, for example, part of the show on the pyrotechnics part? Is it the operator who needs to be completely free in making that decision, or is that a co-decision together with the director and the organizer? Or
yeah, generally it's a joint effort. So these are conversations that we like to have early in the planning stage, so that we know that the event organizer, the pyrotechnic operator, and the authority having jurisdiction all are on the same page as to what we're going to use as determinative criteria, whether it's wind speed, wind direction, or any other situation such as a loss of crowd control. We have to have a clear safety plan and emergency action plan in place for any kind of contingencies that might happen during the show. And we generally try to agree upon what those items are going to be, which would trigger the cancellation or the holding of a particular queue. But ultimately, in the moment, it comes down to that judgment of the pyrotechnic operator. They need to be completely aware of everything that's going on in the venue and focused on the safety of the performers and the spectators that are adjacent to the effects.
Yeah. If you're working with pyrotechnics, it all comes down to controlled explosions, let's put it that way. What is the impact of those on, for example, a stage or a truss or... Yeah, those are not permanent buildings you're working from sometimes. How does that play a factor?
Well, we have to work with all of our other disciplines in the production department. We integrate with the rigging team and with the other teams such as the scenic designers. We have to make sure that all of the elements of the set are made from flame retardant materials, or if they're not from flame retardant materials, they need to be treated for flame retardancy. We have to make sure that any of the materials that we're putting on entertainment structures actually are not going to overload those structures. So we've done extensive amounts of testing and we've even published some studies on how different types of pyrotechnics recoil forces affect the structures that they're mounted on. So, it's very important to know if you're firing devices that go, 150, 200 meters, and you're putting that on a truss, 20 meters in the air, what are the loads that are going to be imparted on those structures? So we work with the engineers and the rigging teams to make sure that we're not going to create a situation that creates an unsafe loading condition. So there's a lot of details that go on behind the scenes. And, you know, the most important thing is we've developed a set of checklists that we go through. And we'll be talking about that during the event safety day, and we'll be providing some checklist resources for event planners to be able to use that kind of takes you through that process from pre-production and pre-planning through the day of the event, the actual event execution, and even post-event. Just a whole series of things that we need to be aware of and be considering when we're producing an event that utilizes pyrotechnics or special effects.
But if I hear this story, it comes down, and it fits a lot of disciplines in the event industry. Get you people like you involved as soon as possible in the process.
Yes, that's one of the most important things, and it makes it challenging because pyrotechnics and special effects usually tends to be one of the last vendors that gets brought to the table when planning an event. You get down to, you've planned your artists, you've planned your staging, everything else, and we realize, oh, we have a little bit of extra budget, so let's add a little pizzazz to it. So typically we get brought into an event in the later stages of planning, sometimes, believe it or not, you know, a matter of just a few weeks before the events happen. And that can create some especially difficult challenges because in some locations we need to file for permits 15 or 30 days in advance of those types of events. So I always strongly encourage, if you're considering doing an event that has pyrotechnics, engage with a competent licensed provider as early as possible in the planning thing, because you can really head off a lot of potential problems by having those conversations early on in the design and planning process so that you don't run into any of these pitfalls at the last minute.
You touched the topic already very briefly, and that's about the audience.
The audience is probably one of our biggest concerns when it comes to safety. We have standards that state that we have to be a certain amount of distance away from our spectators, and we have to be ready for contingencies. We've all seen events where the audience gets a little out of control, or you lose a barricade line, and you have to be ready to respond and hold fire or cut certain effects out of the show. You know, obviously in today's age, you know, safety and security is always a factor when we're planning these types of things. So making sure that we have adequate separation so we don't hurt any spectators or even other crew members who happen to be on stage. When you get into particularly festival situations, there's a lot of activity moving, and you've got multiple bands, multiple crews, all trying to get their individual tasks done. And sometimes they're just not aware of all of the other elements that are present on the stage. So we have to do things like, you know, effective briefing of the crew ahead of time, signage on the stage, flashing or warning lights to indicate, hey, something's about to happen. We have lots of different plans in place to be able to communicate the hazards to both the crew and to all of the other event personnel who are working the show. By and large, though, our audience is where they are. So we know that the audience is going to be in a certain location, and we plan for that, and we make sure that our effects are adequately separated from the audience. So even in the unlikely event that something does malfunction, it's going to do so in a safe way that should not endanger the audience.
But it's interesting. You say, okay, we need to be aware of whatever happens on that stage at all moments, but the stage is very large. Where is a pyrotechnics operator positioned? Is it near the stage? Is it in the front of house so he has a full overview of the scene? Or how do you typically do that?
Our preference is that we be right on the stage. Typically, we are right off stage right. And in some stages that are very large, we will actually engage one or more additional safety spotters who are on constant communication with the pyrotechnic operator, who is able to see every area on the stage. Some stages get very complex, and the operator, firing operator, cannot physically see every location. So sometimes we will use the safety spotters or even closed circuit television cameras so that we can see the areas that would particularly be of high hazard. You know, some places we're doing flames in elevated positions or pyrotechnic effects in elevated positions, and closed circuit television can be very, very helpful in those applications, being able to see what's going on.
Yeah, we've been talking about the audience, but of course on stage there is also Another risk factor, and that's the performing artist, who is also not always doing what was rehearsed up front. Is that a big problem for you guys?
It tends to be less of a problem, we think. I mean, the artists are actually, for the most part, generally pretty aware, and we do engage with the artists fairly early in the process to make sure that they understand where things are. In fact, if you're on a stage that has a lot of effects, you'll frequently see large orange gaff tape hazard paths, clearly delineating, stay out of this area because this is where it's going to be. But when you are in that role and you're the artist, you're on stage in front of thousands of people, it's very easy to get lost in the moment. So that's where it's very critical to have a pyrotechnic operator who is calm, who is aware, and who is watching every move of those artists, because it's that person's job to ensure that if somebody's in the wrong place, you don't fire the effect. So it's incredibly critical that everybody's on that same page.
All right. I think it will be a very interesting talk you will be giving on the event safety day. Brian, thank you so much for sharing already some highlights of your talk.
Well, I look forward to it. I'm very much excited to be coming to Belgium and participating in the event safety day. I think it's going to be a great conference.
All right. Thank you. And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.